This is Dr. David Whitlock with your Monday Morning Wake-Up Call, the podcast designed to help people wake up to the possibilities that surround them every day and maximize their potential for life. A number of you responded to last week's podcast about gossip. I suppose that's one subject or problem most of us face, perhaps more often than we would like. If you missed that segment, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. It's titled Nip It. You can find it there on my website. One thing I could have addressed more in that podcast is what to say when you find that you're in the midst of hearing gossip. I mean, we don't want to come across as a holier-than-thou type of person and shout, "This is gossip, I rebuke you." But the truth is, most of the gossip comes from rumors that we hear with people that we're familiar with. And so it's sometimes hard to distinguish, at least at first, what's gossip and what's not. And to know whether it's gossip or not, remember those three tests or guards at the gate. The guard asks the question, three of them, is it true? The next gate, is it necessary? And then, is it kind? Well, that'll help direct your communication on whether it's really gossip or not. If it passed those tests, it's certainly not gossip. If it can't, then it is gossip. One thing's for sure, gossipers don't have the best interest of others in mind. Remember that. And that's probably the best indication of whether it's gossip or not. The trouble is, what they may say could be true, but they are intending it, sharing it in such a way to hurt someone. I like the story of the cowboy who applied for an insurance policy. "Have you ever had any accidents?" the agent asked him. And the cowboy thought a moment and said, "Nope, I don't suppose so, but a bronc did kick me in two of my ribs last summer, and a couple of years ago a rattlesnake bit me on the ankle." "Well, wouldn't you call those accidents?" the rather puzzled agent asked. "Nah," said the cowboy, "they did it on purpose." Well, someone's telling you something, maybe privately, maybe in a group, and you get this distinct sense it's not in the best interest of others. What do you do? If you're in a group, you might say something like, "You know, Joe may have his problems. I do too. I'm not sure this is something I could or would say to him in person, so I'm just going to have to bow out of this conversation." That little phrase, "I'm just going to have to bow out of this conversation," allows you an exit. You can also ask in an innocent way, "Are you sure that's true?" Here's something else you might say. "I just don't feel comfortable talking about this. Something doesn't seem right." And then just leave it at that. If you can just remove yourself from the group, that can work too. Your very action of not joining in makes a statement in itself. Find a way to leave the room. If you're in a private conversation with someone that's telling you a bit of information that you know is drifting into the realm of gossip, you might say, "You know, I hear so much bad about people, I'd just as soon not get involved in all that." Or you could say, "I'd just soon not hear about that." When I was a teenager, there was a rumor going around town that a man who had been working with young people had had an inappropriate relationship with one of the female teenagers in the group. I remember my neighbor, Jim Parrish, whom we called Big Jim Parrish, not just because of he was a big man in stature, but because he was an ex-Marine who fought in some major battles in World War II. And Big Jim liked to golf, and he would practice chip shots with his wedge, or maybe it was a nine iron, and he would hit golf balls from his backyard over to our front yard. I remember standing out there one evening, and, you know, a few of the men from the neighborhood were out there talking in the evening, and Big Jim was practicing his chip shots. And in the conversation, someone turned to a discussion about the fella who had been the subject of that gossip. Somebody made a joke about him, and everyone seemed to look to Big Jim, who said nothing. He virtually ignored the talk as he hit one golf ball after another. Then he paused and said, in reference to the man who was the subject of the town talk, "You know," Jim said, "he's done more good around here than I have." And then, referring to the rumor, Big Jim said, "I choose not to believe that." And that put a stop to the gossip to the whole conversation. It reminded me of Jesus's words, "He who has not sinned cast the first stone." Jesus said that to the religious men who had accused the woman caught in adultery. And each one, you remember, dropped their stones and sulked away. Now, was the rumor true? I never knew. But I did take Big Jim's lead. I chose not to believe it. The thing about it was, Big Jim wasn't a churchgoer. And yet he had acted above some of the people who were talking about their fellow believers. If you're a Christian, that should give you pause for reflection. Maybe the best response you can make is the one Big Jim made. I don't know whether it's true or not, but I choose not to believe it. And maybe you've got a response to gossip that's worked for you. Well, connect with me. Let me know about it. Email me. And next week, I'll talk about what to do when you are the subject of the rumor. So join me next week, and in the meantime, go out there and be the person God created you to be. Across my head, found the way downstairs and drank a cup, looking